It is a pleasure to be here, especially I always love being with these brothers. And as I look out in the audience, I see students of mine, I see colleagues, I see friends, family, and it's always good, as I say, to go home. I'm coming at this from a different vantage point, and it's interesting as Terry left off with the thought that things haven't worked for us. You know, I would argue that the relationship that academic health centers, those hospitals and other things that exist in, largely in communities that are low income and largely minority, those things have not worked for us. And in fact, I remember back in public health school, the dean of the public health school would always look at me whenever someone from the community said something about what the university was not doing in the community, because he thought I always put him up to it, which I did a lot. But I didn't do it all the time. And so he would always look at me like, why'd you do this? He, of course, is now the head of the Institute of Medicine, and he's done nicely in life. But it brings us back to the point that 70% of all academic health centers reside in communities that are low income and largely minority. And oftentimes, again, these have not worked in our favor. I struggle with the thought of whether or not I should even do a talk about this, as some of my colleagues will tell you. I've been at the University of Chicago all of 30 days. And, in fact, I've been actually at the university probably half of that time because I was off doing other things, fulfilling commitments I'd made before I'd come there. And so I want to set this context in just telling you that as I look at the interface of the University of Chicago with the community, I come at this as both a skeptic and a believer. And from with that, I mean that, you know, I lived on the South Side. I live on the South Side. I'm a South Sider by birth and by choice, and have been there my whole life except when I've been away for school, and have had went to medical school at the University of Chicago, as well as did my Robert Wood Johnson Clinical Scholars Program. So I've been on both sides of the fence in terms of the community academic health center dynamic. And while I I know history, this is an institution, and it's an institution for a reason. So that's the part of me that's the skeptic, that what I'm attempting to do with a group of other people can even be done. I don't know if it can be done. At the same time, I have to believe this has to be a different way. And in that spirit, you know, I decided to try and work from the inside and try and make a difference. Now, this was not an easy sell, and you all probably heard of this woman. Her name is Michelle Obama. You heard of this, Michelle? She talked hard probably a good 10 months to lay the groundwork for my going to the university. And now I'm there, and when people ask me what does my titles mean, what is it that I'm trying to do with the Urban Health Initiative, you know, I simply say that we have to recognize there are some assets and some needs in the community. Oftentimes, assets are not recognized. We always talk about deficits. And at the same time, there are some assets and needs at the Academic Health Center. And my job, as I see it, is to match up those assets and needs where they make the most sense across those boundaries that have historically existed, and determine how do we improve the health of the place where my family lives and where my family is on the South Side of Chicago. I'd like to go to the next slide. So the overall goal is one, you know, and this is a whole new concept for our university of collaborating with partners. In fact, if you talk to a lot of the faculty, they don't believe that anything that happens outside its four walls has anything to do with the university. And that's just how it is. And that's what we're working with. Not everybody thinks that way, to be fair, but a good number do. But so the goal of this effort and why this is important for chronic disease is that we're working together, community, the medical center, to try and improve the health of people living in our primary service area through collaboration with the university and the people in the community. And Terry's department has done some work that looked at over the last decade of how the capacity for primary care has increased. And during that time period, primary care capacity increased almost 20%. So there were more primary care doctors and others that were in the community on the South Side. But the number of people who have ambulatory sensitive conditions, those conditions that if you get appropriate primary care, you won't get hospitalized. The Southside is the only area in the whole city of Chicago where those numbers went up while the rest of the city went down. So there's a lot of work to do in terms of chronic disease and a lot of potential. The medical center has a lot of expertise in subspecialized care. Again, you know, research and particularly important, I think, in educating doctors who will be both academicians as well as in the community. And also the Urban Health Initiative recognized that, the community health providers have some assets also in terms of dealing with primary care and subspecialty care heretofore, which was not recognized by it. And that there are other organizations that these providers partner with at the community. So where we are now, we're in phase one of approaching this whole process with the Urban Health Initiative, and which is looking at how do you rationalize, how do you coordinate care in a way that makes sense, particularly looking at just the most basic of care and looking at preventive services and again, chronic disease, which is the topic of why we're here. And hopefully, if we do a good job with those first two, we won't need the highly specialized and complex care. And then, secondly, recognizing that we all need to learn together. As knowledge is getting generated, we need to be able to have knowledge generated and get that translated to at the community level so it can impact health. One concept I'm working on right now is the Center for Community Health. And this is something that I've been there for all of, and I like the speed at which, I have to tell my brethren who are in the government, I like the speed at which they move at the U of C, though. You know, I come up with an idea, and we have a concept paper, and we're already shopping it to foundations in a month. And so this Center for Community Health would be the interface for the university with the community and almost be like the public health complement to the medical care we do in the community. So, for example, if you know, historically when people have done research, people come in the community, get data, they jet out. Folks don't know what happened. And part of what I see the Center for Community Health being is to have the community involved in the research, understanding what it's about, training community residents to be the research assistants and to be develop research questions. Also, to continue to nurture the relationships that are needed over time. And importantly, on the other side, teach the researchers how do you engage the community in a respectful way. So it would be a sort of a gatekeeper to the community in terms of the clinical side research and education. And this would be done in collaboration with the Southside providers. And again, as we learn new things, it needs to be translated, or you know, it doesn't make a difference if we find out new things and nobody knows about it. It has four key components: the clinical part, and one thing I will say there, you know, about 10 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that, the university increased its emergency room, and what happened? More people came to the emergency room. And as we went out to start talking about this, we talked to Mercy, we talked to Holy Cross, St. Bernard, Jackson Park, and they asked us, why are you all stealing our patients? And we're like, what are you talking about? They said, you increase your emergency room, people are coming to your hospital, and we're less financially viable as a result of the patients coming to the University of Chicago. And so where I think we are now is the university is in a health ecosystem. It's not recognized that fact, and every move they make has an impact on the institutions that are in the rest of the ecosystem, and they've just been doing their thing, oblivious that there are other elements of it. And so now we're trying to work in concert in a rational way. Secondly, the whole issue of quality, as we're deploying our physicians to Mercy Hospital, to federally qualified health centers, and other places, we want to make sure that they're doing a quality job where they are. And some people frame health disparities as a quality issue. And to the extent that we can improve quality for everybody on the South Side, we can improve health disparities, I believe. And we have to recognize that there are quality initiatives already going on in a lot of fairly qualified health centers and other places. But we're going to continue to work with them, develop our own things, and also evaluate any programs that we do. So one of my first steps is working on a baseline study of what is the health status, you know, pulling that data from the Chicago Department of Public Health so that as we do and work on new interventions, we can figure out whether or not we're making a difference at all. And then thirdly, research, which, you know, this is a bugaboo for our communities. You know, and I understand it. You start talking about research, Tuskegee comes out of people's mouths within 2 seconds. I was a community-based researcher before I came to the state of Illinois, and so I know the struggles out there. But at the same time, we have to participate in research, or we won't know whether or not the solutions that are being developed will apply to us. And we're moving into a realm where genetics and personalized medicine is going to be the order of the day. They're going to tailor medicine specifically to what your genetic makeup is. And if we're not in the mix, we won't be able to take part and know whether or not the solutions matter to us. And as you remember that slide with where the differences are made in terms of health outcomes, genetics makes up 30% of that. So, you know, I would argue we would do well to know more about our genetic makeup and how that impacts our health and be involved in research. So the research is a critical part. We need to be involved in the IRBs and in terms of approving research projects as researchers and developing research questions. And lastly, teaching is critically important because the folks we're teaching in these institutions are going out to propagate whatever they learn in the institution. And in fact, we're beginning to think about how do you talk to the incoming resident or the incoming medical student to give them a framework of where they're working, because heretofore they haven't gone out into the community. They just only interacted with patients when they came into the facility. In terms of, you know, I'm going to breeze through this. We're trying, about 50% of patients who come into our ER do not have a medical home. And we're trying to work together with a lot of community-based providers to provide medical homes for those folks. Also, really beginning to focus on the subspecialty nature that we can only offer on the South Side. There are folks who can do general delivery. There are folks who can do primary care. Not everybody can do a liver transplant or a lung heart transplant or those sorts of things. We again, for the first time, are reaching out, establishing affiliations with community providers. Mercy, we have two things going on there with both an inpatient psych unit that we're contributing staffing to as well as a hospitalist service. We're working with the Cook County Bureau of Health Services around specialty care that they might need. And also something that's just recently came up, Terry Mason and I have been on a body that looked at the health of the county health system. And things do not look well at all. And in fact, you know, one of the things in the paper yesterday was about the potential of Provident Hospital, which is a public hospital on the South Side, closing. Well, that's something that through affiliation with our university, we might be able to help prevent happening. And so we've been in discussions around Provident Hospital. Access is a community, a network of 40 plus community health centers, and we're placing specialty doctors out there, as well as assisting with renovations. I don't know if you all know, for most federally qualified health centers, they have great access to primary care, but trying to get people subspecialty care is a problem. And so we're looking at an innovative multi-specialty FQHC that would be based on the South Side in the community level, and in fact investigating building a whole new clinic that would see up to 100,000 visits for subspecialty care. And again, Terry, Steven, and Damon, this all came together in the last month where we sat down and started conceptualizing it, and we are getting ready, and I've already talked with the governor's office about how we might move forward on that sort of thing. So I like the speed at which things move, because we can move if we want to. A lot of times they don't want to. And we're working with other FQHCs. And we're placing physicians, typically family medicine docs, as well as some internal medicine docs out in community settings. And lastly, we're trying to track what's going on and so we can keep track of where patients end up, how we can make sure that people are having a good experience, and also to track quality. We have a whole charge that's dealing with quality, because again, we think it's important as we do these things, we measure the quality and importantly are making sure that the programs have quality, the patients are happy, our partners are happy, and then lastly, our doctors are happy, you know, that are out in community settings. This is very new, but the teaching charge, we just had our first meeting of that group last Friday, and really beginning to think about how do you reformat the educational process out in the community setting. For some people, this is old hat. For our university, we've never had relationships like that with a lot of people out in the community. So we're having to look at how do you establish some best practices for teaching, and how do you financially support it? The university has rarely actually paid for teaching, and we're looking at models. How do you pay for the teaching that occur in those settings? We need to look at what sort of initiatives need to happen. And in fact, there's a number of different things that are already occurring in the community, from resident clinics, but it's all happening piecemeal and not in an organized fashion. One of the things I'm excited about, there's a program in Chicago that developed me and almost every African-American physician of my age, named the Chicago Area Health and Medical Careers Program, and that may be coming to the university as a part of this effort, because the other frontier is making sure we have enough African-American, Latino, and other doctors to care for communities. And the leaders of that program are nearing retirement. So, you know, myself and some other people who went through the program had thought about how do we keep this thing going, because it needs to happen. And then we just need to identify what issues that need to be dealt with to do teaching in a community setting. So as I conclude, you know, change is hard, and one of the things people have been excited about me coming to the university to work on this stuff. You know, I worked at Cook County Hospital in a community setting for 8 years before I went to the state. I did research out there, started a Black Men's Clinic with a group of others out there, and worked at the state where I worked with many community-based organizations and faith-based organizations. So people were hallelujahing that I'm walking through the door. And my thing is I told them that I'm no messiah, that in fact, you know, we're working against 100 years of history and trying to improve the relationships between the institution and the community. But I will say that there is hope. There are a number of forces that are conspiring to make the institution interested in what's happening in the community. One is the whole issue of the money and clinical care, and I'm always upfront about that, probably more upfront than the people who hired me would like. But, you know, money in their minds is important, because for a patient we might see who is general care, say has a pneumonia, in our high-cost platform with all of the whiz-bang technology, we lose money on that, whereas that patient gets seen at Mercy Hospital, they make a great deal of money on it. So trying to get the patients matched to where the resources are used is going to be the challenge in doing that in a sensitive way. Also, the CTSA, which is a clinical translational grant that NIH has put out there, they basically said that we spent trillions of dollars in healthcare, and we don't know if this is impacting human health at all. So all of you academic health centers need to figure out how to translate this research to impact human health, particularly at the community level, or you won't be in the academic health center business anymore. And so we competed for and were awarded a CTSA grant. I think there are not many in the country right now, but you know that has pushed people in the institution to think about what does research need to look like. The other issue is about educational challenges from the ACGME, the accreditation body for most residency programs. They want to see people in ambulatory settings, so the institution needs to think about that from an educational mission. And even though I'm in the inside now, both inside and outside, we have to have some vigilance to make sure that community, whatever way you define it, is protected. And so, I've been excited that, you know, anytime I've pushed back, people have listened. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a lot of members of the board who you have support from, and also members of the community who you have support from, so people will listen. And then lastly, I think that not only for the University of Chicago, but for any academic health center, there's a lot of opportunity to decrease chronic diseases and health disparities. And our challenge right now is to, at the University of Chicago, my challenge is to find models that work that can be replicated at the Hopkins and other places so that we can move our nation forward in terms of health disparities. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Terry, and we can answer questions.
Thank you, Dr. Whitaker. You have had a great panel this afternoon, and of course, I'm biased about it. I want to thank Joe Harrington for helping to pull this together, and I'm going to bring, Joe did a great job in pulling this whole thing together. Thank you for coming, and also I want to bring Claude Jacob back up to the podium. We won't have time, unfortunately, for Q&A, because I think we're done. Supposed to be done at 2, is that right? But we'll have Claude come back up.
Let's give another round of applause for our esteemed panels. Of course, I have a bias because that's my home state of Illinois. I'm now an immigrant to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And so Dr. Whitaker had a chance to continue to mentor me as I served as the Deputy Director for the Office of Health Promotion back in Illinois. So to Joe Harrington, to Dr. Javed Orgain, who's also the past president of the National Medical Association, who helped us to broker our reception last night with the CBC Health Brain Trust. We really want to thank you for the partnership this year. It means a lot to the Black Caucus of Health Workers as the oldest caucus in APHA. Just really quickly, and I can do the one-minute recap, and then I'll let everyone come up, because in the interest of time, we do want to at least acknowledge that there are some questions that you may have from the audience. So we can do this in, I'll take 5 minutes of questions and then let the audience go. So very quickly, Dr. Mason had a chance to give us a historical overview and talked about the impact that racism has had over the course of many generations. We've had just a generation to try to catch up, but there are systemic contributors to health disparities. Dr. Martin talked about the burden of chronic disease and the costs, especially about diabetes and lung cancer, and just the fact that we do need an infusion of capital to help implement our strategic plans at the state and local level. Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold talked about the poor being disenfranchised and how these policies have fueled this over time, and again reminded us of the importance that these root causes of racism have led to and continue to perpetuate the health disparities. And also, Dr. Whitaker closed up and talked about the asset-based approach in the communities and looking at the importance of bridging gaps, engaging communities in research and community orientation to care, but also recognizing that there's a healthcare ecosystem that really impacts and creates a ripple effect across communities. And so I can take 3 questions very quickly and then invite you to come up and meet the panelists. So.
Understand
what from those things did work. My own personal bias is it is not going to be a programmatic effort. It is going to be something that really sort of involves the person's totality of their existence. In other words, when we start looking at these things, whether Seventh-day Adventists or whom they are, you're going to find that it's not just a piece of something you can pluck out and make work. It's going to be something that we have to do in a total sort of way. Problems. I don't know.
Change your behavior and change it. What
discontinued. And so in many senses, the discontinued so long folks forgot that it even existed.
Yes.
So, but the issue is there's no question that we need to, that that's an issue that needs to be taken up. And I really hope that we don't do this piecemeal approach where we ensure a breast, a prostate, a this, a that. I mean, because that's unfortunately what we end up doing. Because those are, and you know, and I would tell you, I went to the mayor Daley, and I asked the mayor about supporting the governor's position to try and get Gervais, all of the, everybody in the state of Illinois, the insurance. And he said, you know, you can't do it that way. You got to do it, breast cancer, prostate. And I said, well, Mr. Mayor, that makes no sense. He says, I know, but that's not the way it's done. You got to, you know what he said? You have to do things that have a constituency. So you got to get the breast people, you got to get the prostate people, you got to get the heart people, you got to meet, because those are political constituencies that have an organized voice that push the agenda. Because what happens in Springfield, what happens in our, in terms of what happens even federally, as we can see, does not necessarily have any relationship with to what makes sense.
Three more questions, because again, we're going to have to cede the room for the next group. So, Dr. Organi, Dr. Kane.
Great presentation, everyone. But I have two things I'd like you to address. One is health illiteracy and poverty, which you didn't address, but in terms of chronic illness. And the other is here, you indicated that in relation to the Hispanic population, Puerto Ricans in terms of higher diabetes. But I would say that in research, that we haven't done any research with our medical school population and in the African descent population in regards to the differences in that regard. So I think needs to be addressed.
Well, I can say in terms of health literacy, I couldn't give a time frame to talk about this center for community health. But one thing that I think would be novel about it is if there's a community health librarian program that comes out of the University of Illinois that really tries to go to communities, figure out what issues are important, answer the questions that are out there, and also work with health literacy so that people can move from being health illiterate to being more literate about what's happening to them. So that's one aspect that will be built in the Center for Community Health that we're talking about. But, you know, you can talk about a whole lot of stuff in terms of this topic.
And I just wanted to also, that on the insurance issue, Eric directly dealt with that with the Project Brotherhood, which was a clinic that was set up to deal with the whole notion, because we have to think even differently about how men even seek help.
Two more questions, Dr. Kane.
Determined what research was done in their community, not the university.
large product of the discount is actually killing our children with obesity and diabetes. Should we, as a public health entity, be trying to pass legislation